You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago sports betting.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding me.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word.
Hello? Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on The Score.
And a friend of mine is very smart, said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
We'll be back at the usual 8 to 9 a.m. Saturday slot next week, but today, MLB futures, NFL draft betting angles, and college hoops on this Final Four Saturday. Broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers.
Well, baseball's been in full swing for a week plus, as much as Mother Nature is allowing with all of the postponements that we're seeing in the very rainy April that we're getting here in Chicago and throughout the rest of the country. But that means we need to talk some futures. You know, there's so much going on in the national landscape. Baseball gets pushed back a little bit outside of the local teams, but there's a lot to break down. And a lot has already changed in a super small sample with MVP, Cy Young, taking a look at Rookie of the Year. You can even bet on Manager of the Year now, Reliever of the Year. That's out there. And early on, I think the Centrals are quite interesting, believe it or not. So we're going to start Early Odds today with Jake Kassan, our friend from Bet Slips and Bat Flips, a brand new show on the BetQL network. It's weekdays, 1 o'clock. You can find it on the Odyssey app. Just search the BetQL network. You can also watch it on Twitch as well. And there's the podcast available. It's Jake Kassan and Lucy Burge. Jake joins us now. He's on X at @Jake_Haas, the number two. What's up, Jake?
What's up, Joe? Happy to be here. It's weird being here, not filling in for you for once.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the listeners here to Early Odds may have heard Jake in the past. I'm going to take a wild stab and assume that you were talking a little baseball, even though it was maybe like February or something like that.
Yeah, we did a little baseball. We would bring in the likes of Isaac Trotter to do the college basketball. But yeah, of course, hit some baseball early on before the season started.
I can't believe how much play the American League Central is getting on our show, BetQL Daily, which Jake is one of the producers for, and he hops on to talk plenty of baseball. I would think that nationally people would look at the AL Central and say, who cares? But even after just the few games that we do have, I'm thinking this is going to shape up to be one of the more interesting divisions. And no, people, I'm not talking about the White Sox. We're putting a line through the White Sox unless you're playing the under, because that could cash for you. But the rest of it is oddly interesting.
Yeah, I think that early before the season and the first couple of days of the season, you would have looked at the AL Central, like you said, and this stinks. The Tigers, the Guardians, the Twins. But it's interesting because they're all bunched up. Nobody's separating themselves in these first couple of games. Those other four teams you mentioned to push a line through the White Sox. Yeah, I agree with that. They're not doing anything here. But we mentioned it on BetQL Daily. I think we're all just trying to beat the Twins. They're the favorite, yeah. And nobody wants to bet them. Everybody wants to go either the Guardians or I'm big on the Royals. The Tigers are interesting. It's very interesting just because those other four teams outside of the White Sox all seem very clustered and within the same range of talent.
Yeah, and sure, you could make the case that the Twins are the best team. You could do that. I'm not going to do that. We're obviously talking from an odds perspective, so even money? No. What's the gap between the Twins and the Guardians? What's the gap between the Twins and the Tigers? It's not that much. And then the payout on those teams is 3 and 4x. That's why we find it interesting. And the team that you're landing on, Kansas City, which we can get into, let's just go over all of them, because I think there's a case to be made for that middle three. When you go sportsbook by sportsbook, and we always preach shopping around, it's pretty telling that some sportsbooks say the Tigers are the second best team. And other sportsbooks say, no, it's the Guardians. They're the second best team. So it kind of tells you how things are up in the air here.
Like I said, you just can't really separate anybody. I mean, if you want to start with the Guardians, because you know, they've been in the playoffs, they've been in the picture the most the last couple of years. I think that they are priced second most plays because right now, look at what Shane Bieber is doing alone. Like, he looks like a Cy Young candidate again. He looks healthy. They have Tristan McKenzie back after he missed all of last year. And then obviously Jose Ramirez is usually a MVP candidate. And they always just churn out these guys that are average or a little bit above average to fill out the rest of the roster. So I think the Guardians, they definitely have it. And if Bieber's going to look like this and Ramirez is going to do what he usually does, they're probably the safe play. But when you look at the Tigers and the Royals, I think it's just their ceiling is what makes them really interesting. They have a ton of young talent each respectively. And I think that's where people get interested and intrigued. And that's what happened with me when I looked at the Royals. I saw a ton of young talent with a high ceiling and I landed on them because I thought their price was too long.
Yeah, it really seems like, okay, if you could tell me which team is going to hit on a consistent basis, that's the team I'd be willing to back, because the other stuff you can buy into with those teams, but the inconsistent offense has been the issue. So between the Tigers and the Guardians, I think that's where you would go. And value play, you mentioned the Royals. Okay, like people are like, what is this dude talking about? Seriously, the Royals to win the division? But again, you're chasing the Twins, we expect. That's what the betting market is telling us. Why are you in on KC? Why is this year different?
I just think that the jump in the way that they filled out the roster from last year to this year. Last year, their rotation was a mess. I mean, Brady Singer was basically their one, and that's not ever what you want. He's decent. He's okay. But now he's their four, their five. And, you know, they add Seth Lugo, who a lot of people have been high on because of his peripherals for the last couple of years. And he's been relegated to a relief role in San Diego and other places. They bring in Michael Wacha, who started a playoff game. And so my thing with the Royals was last year, they had just a bunch of, you know, guys off the street. They had you and me basically playing games for them. And now they bring in actual major leaguers, guys who have had experience to fill out the roster. It's an upside play. Look at what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing right now. He has inserted himself firmly into the AL MVP conversation. A dude who went 30-30 last year and got a massive contract over the offseason. And he has not slowed down. He's hitting well over 300. He's stealing bases. He's hit for power. And then there's a couple other guys. Vinny Pascantino is a guy who I really like. Before he got a shoulder surgery last year, I thought he was on track to kind of break out. Mikel Garcia was a guy who hit 4 home runs last year. He's got 3 already this year. So I think that the Royals, it's an upside play. Their ceiling with their young talent is very very, very high. I think if Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be an MVP candidate, if Salvi Perez can contribute what he's generally been contributing the last few years, and then that pitching staff is about average, led by Cole Reagans, who is in the Cy Young conversation, then I think you just have a decent mix there that could really lead to something. This division, we're talking about all these teams, you got to win 84 games, 85 games to win this division, probably. I think that's well within the Royals' outcome and the range of possibilities.
And it's worth discussing because, yes, it's a small sample and you don't want to overreact, but it is also so early that it's, if you're looking at division prices, none of these numbers have moved yet. And I'm not saying that it should because such little baseball has been played, but we're getting a clearer picture. Or maybe you have a little bit more confidence in a Royals bet at a long shot or 14-1 or a Tigers play at plus 360. So it's certainly worth taking a look at. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score, my guest this morning, Jake Hassan, co-hosts Bet Slips and Bat Flips on the BetQL network. And we go to the National League Central. A similar conversation because at the very top, Jake, sportsbooks can't decide should the Cubs or the Cardinals be your favorite. The Reds are the third favorite across the board, around a number of 4-1. Then it's the Brewers and the Pirates. The Pirates get off to this hot start, and they were supposed to be the bottom feeder of the division. So now that number is shortening up a little bit. NL Central, also fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it is very interesting. And the Pirates, I think there's the number isn't moving a ton because we remember what happened last year with the Pirates. They got out to a scorching hot start last year and then everything fell apart and they ended up in near the cellar of the division. But I think this year is different because what changed with the Pirates last year, why they kind of fell apart, was O'Neill Cruz left. He got hurt. He broke his ankle early in the season. And that lineup, they kind of had to piece together. He came back this year, and to start this year, he's on fire. Henry Davis, who was a number one overall pick a couple of years ago, has started hitting after he tinkered with some stuff in the offseason. I think the problem with the Pirates is you're relying on guys like Marco Gonzalez to go out there and win you games. And that's why you're seeing the Cubs and the Reds and the Cardinals ahead, because you'd rather put your faith in more reliable guys like Hunter Green, or Shota Imanaga's had a great start so far. And of course, we know what the Brewers have with their pitchers, Freddy Peralta, the guys they churn out. But same thing as the AL Central. This is very bunched together.
Jake, let's make sure we hit on all of these awards. And there has been some movement, but hey, they're certainly worth revisiting. So we're going to fly through all of these. Let's start with the AL MVP. No change from the start of the season. It's a couple of Yankees at the very top. Juan Soto, your favorite. Now he's 4-1. Judge at 7-1. Then you get into Alvarez, Seager, Julio conversation. You mentioned Bobby Witt. You can still find Bobby Witt at about 16-1. He's your early war leader. Anything worth discussing in the AL?
Juan Soto has been everything that Yankees fans wanted so far. He's been as advertised, and obviously we know he's been awesome for years. Yordan Alvarez hit a couple home runs earlier this week. You talk about the Orioles guys, Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman, of course, are going to be a part of this conversation. But I think Bobby Witt Jr. is the most likely to see his price continue to come down because, like I said, he was 30-30 last year, and I think he's going to do it again. He's hitting home runs. He's stealing bags left and right. I think if you had to take a shot right now, I think it would be Bobby Witt Jr. because really no one else down the board in those 30, 40, 50 to range, no one's really popped yet. That could obviously still happen. There's a million games left, but I think Bobby Witt Jr. is the guy whose price is still going to keep coming down.
Yeah, I kind of like that range of, so you liked Julio before the season. I liked Seager of those shorter numbers, and now they're both coming down a little bit at 10-1. Witt was 20, and I mentioned he's at 16. Not a huge drop. Maybe you're getting out ahead of the number there. NL side, wow. Mookie Betts, insane. He's now the favorite all by himself. He should be the favorite right now. He's around 4-1. If you look at the war numbers, there's already a one-win gap between Betts and the rest of the pack. And I've been laughing at you this week on the show because you're like, is this done? Could it be this early in the first week of April? It sounds like an insane conversation, but there is a sizable gap between Betts and the rest of the pack.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about what number is most likely to shorten and go down as the season goes along. You know, Mookie Betts is at that 5-1 mark right now. I don't think it's crazy to say that this is going to be, you know, 250, 2-1 in a month or in 60 days, because what he's doing is just unbelievable. And I said to you, you know, if not for Ronald Acuña Jr. starting his own club last year with the 40-70 club. You know, Mookie was getting a lot of talk for MVP at the end of last year. There was a late push for him, and it seems like he's taken that personally. He's also playing shortstop now for the first time in his major league career and playing it really well. So I think that we might just have an award here where it's wire to wire. Mookie just might take this thing and run away and hide with it.
All right. Something I like doing is the names that I was believing in before the season, if they get off to a poor start and I get a better number, is it worth a play? You know how Philly is, man. They're freaking out about Trey Turner already. They're freaking out about the start they had to the season and Trey Turner. Trey Turner goes already from 22-1 down to 32-1. They're screaming about his defense in the Philadelphia media. Okay, fine. That's what you're going to get there. But we all remember how great of a story it was, his turnaround last season. Are you worried about Turner?
No, I'm not worried about him. And I think that we're reaching a buy point for Trey Turner, to be honest. You just mentioned a couple minutes ago, you like that longer range. I do too. I like to monitor those guys. Trey Turner was basically the poster child for the 30-30 club for the last few years. And remember what happened last year? The same exact thing happened, and he completely turned it around, and he just barely missed the 30-30 season by a home run. So I'm watching him for sure. He's somebody I have earmarked. And if you're going to try and beat Mookie Betts, it's got to be guys like Trey Turner who can go 30-30, who can push 40-40.
Corbin Carroll.
I mean, he's another one where you need something to hang your hat on that you don't see very often if you're going to try and beat somebody like Mookie.
Yep, no doubt about it. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score. My guest, Jake Hassan. We're rolling through the awards markets in Major League Baseball. Cy Young, the early favorite. Corbin Burnes, and he's looking awesome. He is, but it's 7-1. You're getting more value than what you're seeing at the top of the MVP. Gausman up there. Screwball is a popular play. You mentioned Bieber. We talked about Reagans. Those guys are in that 12-1 range. What's of note, AL Cy Young?
Yeah, I think what's to note is that even though Corbin Burnes is awesome, nobody has separated themselves crazy much throughout the first couple starts. Corbin Burnes kind of got hit around a little bit against Kansas City earlier this week. And Scuba, we'll see what he does. But and Reagans was awesome against the Orioles early this week. That was a big test for him. But I think Bieber is the number that is going to keep shortening here. And he hasn't allowed a run yet. He struck out 20 guys in his first two starts. That's form from him that we have not seen in a couple of years. He's very interesting to me, but I still think there's going to be somebody who pops here. I still think there's somebody that can be had in the 20 to 30 range. You just got to watch and wait and see who it is. Maybe it's a Nady Eovaldi who had a very good start against Tampa Bay earlier this week. Maybe it's somebody like Grayson Rodriguez for the Orioles. Maybe it's the wrong Orioles pitcher with Burnes at the top. So I think that there's still a ton of, obviously there's a ton of time left in the season, but by far there is nothing that is signed, sealed, delivered in this market yet.
All right, I'll do it. I won't go the MVP route, but I just want your thoughts on it because I know there are Sox fans that are going to bet on Crochet at 100-1. And I think he's going to be really good for a really long time. What do you think their plan is? Are they going to be forced to shut him down at some point? Because what? His max in the majors is 54 innings.
Yeah, I think that's the worry for me. And Sox fans are right. He's been unbelievable. He's been wildly good and has exceeded expectations far and away. But like you mentioned, he hasn't thrown a lot of MLB innings. And I think the reason that I'm a little bit skeptical is he's already been hurt before too. I mean, we've seen him very sporadically. I got to see him string 5, 6, 7, 8 starts together before I even start to believe. And then like you mentioned, the White Sox might play it safe. They might get to the end of the year. They're not playing for anything. And it gets to September and they say, all right, you know, take a month off, start your offseason early. We want to make sure you're healthy for the next 5 years. We don't care about this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the approach that would make sense. And that's the one that I would make. All right. The favorite on the National League side for the Cy Young Award is a shorter number because his name is Spencer Strider. And it just feels like a matter of time before he puts it all together where the ERA is down, the walks are down, and matching in line with his unbelievable strikeout rate. He's a plus 450 favorite. Also near the top, you've got Zach Wheeler. Then it drops a little bit, but Zach Allen, he could win it 14-1. Tyler Glasnow, I know you're in love with that dude. So am I. 16-1 if he can stay healthy all season. What do you think in NL side?
I am a little surprised by how this market has started. Strider was the favorite coming into the year, as he should have been. We heard all this talk over the offseason, how he added a curveball, how he wanted to go deeper into games. And so far, the strikeout numbers especially just haven't really been there for him. He's keeping the door wide open for somebody to walk through here. And Glasnow has had a great start to his LA career so far. He's somebody to keep an eye on for sure. I think, and this is going to sound boring, but Wheeler is somebody to watch for the most part. People have been dying to give Zach Wheeler a Cy Young Award for what feels like the last 4 or 5 years. And he's had a good start to the year in Philadelphia. He got a nice new contract there. He's feeling comfortable, and he's the second favorite at 7-1, 8-1, around there. But I think that he's the one to watch because people are going to want to give him this award.
What about Imanaga? Do we
be for real? Come on.
I'm just, you know, Cubs fans are betting it at 50. That number's dropping every time I look. I see a 28 already, and yeah, we're talking about one game.
Right, and I think what's going to be the issue for Imanaga is, even in that first start, he still gave up some hard contact, and he got helped out by Wrigley Field conditions and by weather conditions. I'm going to be interested to see what happens when he goes on the road, when he goes to, you know, somewhere like Cincinnati, which is a launching pad, or some offensive, you know, some more batter-oriented parks. You know, I'm sure there's Cubs fans betting it. God bless you, but definitely not for me at this juncture.
I do want to talk about Rookie of the Year, and I'm going to defer to you as far as this goes, because you follow prospects very closely. You watch college baseball all the time. The AL versus NL are very different markets. When you look at the top in the American League, you have a couple of Rangers. You've got Langford. Then you've got Evan Carter. People already know Evan Carter. Yes, he's still eligible to be a rookie. And then there's Jackson Holliday. Constant reports, updates, what he's doing, how he's dominating. When is he going to be up? He's the third favorite at 5-1. Then you've got Cole Keith of the Tigers at 13-1. And then the National League side, that's the one where we could have some betting opportunities because it seems to be more wide open, even though there's a heavy favorite, Yamamoto, at 3-1. What are your thoughts? You could hit them both, AL and NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think NL is the most interesting out of the two, for sure, because like you said, you look at the top, it's Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and I always say pitchers don't win this award generally. It's far and few between for pitchers to win this award because it's a war-based stat. Whoever racks up the most war as a rookie gets this award usually, and generally that means it goes to a position player because they're playing every day. The biggest indictment of this is a couple of years ago, we had Michael Harris versus Spencer Strider. Strider was awesome. Nobody can deny that. But he just didn't have the war, and it went to his teammate Harris, who was playing center field every day. So I'm trying to beat Yamamoto whichever way I can. It hasn't really presented itself yet. Jackson Chourio is awesome in Milwaukee right now. He is just lighting the world on fire, and his odds have shortened considerably. But there's somebody that I have my eye on right now, and there's an 80-1 out there on them. It's Trey Lipscomb of the Washington Nationals. He's come out. He got called up because of an injury to replace somebody else. And he's come out and has scored a couple runs to start his career. Has a couple extra base hits. He's playing third base every day for the Nationals. And he's somebody I'm very interested in going forward. And it's at 80-1 right now. It's a long shot, but if he's going to take this job and run with it and not give it back now, because he was originally just supposed to fill in, you know, as an injury replacement. But now if he's going to play like this, the Nats really can't, they can't rationalize sending him down if he's going to play well. He's somebody I'm watching, but the overall thought is to try and beat Yamamoto because pitchers just generally don't win this award.
So look for some value there. One thing that I always take a look at, even if you're not a bettor, if you're just taking a look, when you have a high number of players from a specific team, like you're someone that follows prospect rankings, but that stands out to me. And there are two cases in the National League, and they're both in the NL Central. You mentioned Chourio. Yes, the Brewers have a ton of guys listed. Also the Cubs, and I'm not trying to pander at all to Cubs fans, but when you look, pull up the NL rookie odds, there are seven Cubs listed, seven different Cubs to possibly win this award. And some of the names that you do know, pretty far down the list, and maybe a bit of a surprise there to some people, like Pete Crow Armstrong, he's all the way down at 80-1 at some spots. Is there any Cub that you think can enter this conversation to win this award?
I think to enter the conversation as of right now, is obviously Imanaga after his good start to start the year and start his career here. But the hitters are so bunched. Nobody separated themselves. I think if I had to, Pete Curl Armstrong is the one everyone's going to point to, but I just don't think the bat is there yet. I think Michael Bush would be the one, the position player on the Cubs, that you would probably have the most likelihood of entering the conversation. But I think once we get to the end of the year, it's going to be Imanaga who's in the top five. Probably doesn't win because he's a pitcher, but is at least in the conversation for most of the year.
You mentioned Michael Bush. This is worth pointing out sometimes in awards, and this is a case of that. Numbers wildly different. I see a 13-1. I see a 25. I see a 40. How do you have a 13 and a 40 on the same player? Well, people aren't paying attention to the award. Of the awards, this one gets paid attention the least. AL side, I don't know if there's a bet there. Do you have a pick?
I'm a little surprised. The spring that Wyatt Langford had, I thought he would hit the ground running here right out the gate, and he really hasn't. It's kind of been a slow start for him. Evan Carter, similarly, after having a great postseason, sort of a slow start. And I think it's just we're waiting for Jackson Holliday. This guy's in the minor leagues calling his shot, going up to the plate and saying, I'm going to hit a home run, and then doing it. And he's going up against lefty hitters. He's a left-handed hitter, and he's got lefty pitchers, and the Orioles are trying to make the argument, oh, he's got to work on lefties and facing left-handed pitchers. He's hitting home runs off lefties, too. So I think it's just we're waiting to see when Jackson Holliday comes up, because right now, Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter, I like them long-term, but they haven't impressed me so far. They haven't blown me away. I think it's just we're waiting for Jackson Holliday right now.
Do you think it's worth a bet at 5-1? Like, why would they hold him down?
I think, honestly, the more games that get played, the more likely that this price is to get longer. I don't think it's worth a bet until he gets called up officially.
Then you jump in, but you've got to do it right away because that number is going to go immediately. And yeah, like when one of these Texas guys gets hot, then that number is going to get even longer for Holliday. So certainly a good point by Jake Kassan there. I don't even remember manager of the year being up before. It's something we don't talk about on BetQL Daily because there weren't odds in the past, but I see odds this year. So I don't know quite how to handicap it, but I'm paying attention. Last year, American League, Brandon Hyde. Makes perfect sense. The O's have that awesome 101 win season. He's your manager of the year. But I was surprised to see Skip Schumacher, the winner on the National League side, finished in third place in the East, but the Marlins end up making the playoffs. Council's the favorite in the National League at 6-1. Hinch the favorite, American League, plus 550. Is this something you're even interested in?
Yeah, it's something that I'm monitoring, but I think it's just the bet that you want to make is which team do you think can pop and exceed expectations? We talked about two divisions in the Central that are all bunched up and have a lot of teams that people have kind of been underestimating. If you think the Royals or the Tigers can make the playoffs, I think there's your bet. The Cubs, if Council can take them to 90 wins in the playoffs and win the division, I think there's your bet. It's just such a new market. It's hard to kind of figure out what the edge is going to be.
For sure. Last thing, Jake, any World Series bets that are in or being considered?
I last year was a big Arizona Diamondbacks guy, and I'm right back there. I think this team is being very underrated. I bet them at 40-1 prior to opening day, and I still think this team rocks. They don't even have Jordan Montgomery pitching for them yet. He's ramping up production, and they lost a couple games to the Yankees earlier in the week, and the Yankees have started really hot, but I still think this Diamondbacks team is built similarly to a 2014-15 Royals team, where that 2014 Royals team went to the World Series, lost to the Giants, had a lot of young talent, and then they came back in 2015. They added Johnny Cueto, Ben Zobrist, and then they went and won it. And I think that this makes sense for the Diamondbacks. They're built similarly. They have a lot of young talent. Corbin Carroll obviously is the name that you know, but they're built deep in the rotation. Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Brandon Faught, I think, is somebody who's going to break out this year. And then Jordan Montgomery, the guy that they just lost the World Series to, brings a lot of valuable experience. I still think the Diamondbacks, they're my pick. I like them a lot.
Being in the same division with the Dodgers, that's why they get that value. And there's this expectation. There's no way they could do it again. Well, maybe they can. And you explained why and the way that roster is built. That's Jake Kassan. Check him out weekdays, 1 o'clock, bet slips and bat flips on the BetQL network. Just search the BetQL network on the Odyssey app, or you could watch twitch.tv/BetQL. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
Joe Ostrowski with you. And you can follow me on X at Joe Ostrowski at Joe Ostrowski. The NFL draft countdown at 19 days. There's no money to be made on Caleb to the Bears, but there is elsewhere in the draft.
That's next. You've got Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago sports betting.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word.
Hello? Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on The Score.
And a friend of mine is very smart, said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score. Less than 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. And we're hitting the point where a bunch of new betting markets will become available, but plenty out there to take a look at right now. Well, Anthony Amico from Establish the Run and Football Guys does a great job following all the news, rumors, and finding good bets. Amico joined me on BetQL Daily, and I asked him about the QB order after the Bears go Caleb Williams at 1-1. Take a listen.
Yeah, I'm still on team Jaden Daniels right now to go second. I don't know if it's a massive lean, but it's definitely, I would say, like 60-40 for me. I mean, Adam Peters, the GM there now, he's from San Francisco. So he was there for the Mac Jones, Trey Lance thing where it felt like we didn't really get anything out of that program until right before the draft. So I don't know if we're necessarily going to get a lot of leaks, but all the insiders that have kind of commented on this, you know, Schefter, Albert Breer, they've kind of intimated that it's going to be Daniels. If you look at some of the pieces at The Athletic comparing the quarterbacks, it sounds like Daniels is in a higher tier than Drake May, that people consider him to be closer to Caleb than to May. So just looking at those like league-wide type things, I would lean Daniels. But obviously, you know, Washington's the only team that makes that selection. So we don't really have an idea of what they prefer right now.
What about position totals? The most talked about positions, obviously quarterbacks, we're going over that. That number set at 4.5 players selected in the first round. Cornerback, pretty deep, getting some chatter there. 5.5, wide receivers, certainly. That number at 6.5, offensive linemen at 9.5. Anything, any position totals grab your attention?
Quarterback under. I mean, I think that this under is good pretty much every year. We always push these quarterbacks up the board. This year, it's Michael Penix, it's Bo Nix that are kind of getting chatter as being the fifth and sixth quarterbacks off the board that they could potentially be selected in the first round. And it's definitely possible, especially when you have a guy like Sean Payton, who I would say is pretty arrogant and maybe doesn't care what the league thinks about these players. But we really typically don't see quarterbacks drafted in day one if they aren't day one players. You know, we saw this last year with Will Levis. We saw it with Hendon Hooker. We saw it with, yeah, I mean, you can just keep going down the line. Quarterbacks don't really get drafted in the first round if they aren't first round caliber players. And these two guys specifically are older players. Penix has a pretty long medical injury history. So I just have a hard time believing that they should be favored to go in the first round. You can get as high as like 2-1 on this under. So I like that. And I also like the receiver under 6.5. I think is a really big number to beat 7 receivers. This is definitely a really good receiver class. But if you listen to what some of the insiders have said, and again, I'll quote Jeremiah, like the receiver class is so good and so deep that when you look at it compared to some of the other positions, you can see the receivers getting pushed more into day two because like the tackles, for example, like you don't grab your tackle on day one, you're not going to get one. So I could see some of these guys, I mean, obviously Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Brian Thomas, I think those guys are locked in. That's 4 guys. But, you know, the Texas receivers, you know, that's still only going to get you to 6 guys. So I'm not sure that we're going to see this, like, huge run on receivers at the end of the first round. And you kind of need that to get to 7.
You were talking about the offensive lineman flying off the board, and that certainly makes sense. But I see for first offensive lineman, Alt is the minus 350 favorite. Is it for sure Alt is the first one to go?
I think it's still kind of up in the air. I mean, Alt should be the favorite, but I don't think he should be favored that strongly. The linemen are really talented, and it kind of feels like you're going to have to pick the one that fits your program the best, that fits your system the best. I'm not sure that Alt is such a blowaway talent that, you know, a team that really likes a guy like Tali Fuaga wouldn't take him or Olu Fashanu. So I like Fashanu a little bit in that market. If you can still get like around 8-1 or so, you know, he was going to be a no doubter top 10 pick probably last year. If he came out, he decided to go back to school. But Albert Breer still believes that he's going to go in the top 10. So I feel like if you're saying like him and Alt both go in the top 10, the odds probably shouldn't be that far apart of which one would go first.
Embrace the variance of the NFL draft. Good stuff from Anthony Amico over at Establish the Run and Football Guys. 68-4 teams. That happened quick. Only 3 games left in the college basketball season. We'll hit that next. Follow me on X at Joe Ostrowski, at Joe Ostrowski. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago sports betting.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word. Hello?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on The Score.
And a friend of mine is very smart, said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score. Back to the normal schedule next weekend, 8 to 9 every single Saturday morning. We bring in Jim Miller of Hawthorne Racecourse, weekly contributor here on Early Odds. What's up, Jim? How you doing?
Joe, I am doing good. I'll tell you this. March Madness has been great.
Yeah.
But to me, it's been great on the women's end. I think the women's March Madness has been wildly fascinating and entertaining this year. What do you think?
How could you not be doing great? I mean, what a great time on the sports calendar. You mentioned both March Madnesses, baseball starting off. We're getting ready for the NBA and NHL playoffs to get going. Masters is next week. I mean, I know you're all into WrestleMania. There's so much going on, man. It's unbelievable. The women's side, I can't believe we're here, man. I can't believe that rating that we saw for going back to Monday of 12.3 million people. And when you put that in perspective, compare it to some of the other big sporting events, it is unreal how it knocks it out of the park. I can't believe I'm into it as much as I am. Way into it more than the men's tournament. And the betting has matched that. Everybody's betting on this event, and I think that also feeds into it. The other part is one of the issues going on with men's college basketball, though, Jim. Yes, you have the superstars. That's a big factor. It's the history of a season ago. You have a built-in rivalry already, and it's the same players. That's the difference.
Yes.
There's so much changeover and transfer stuff going on in the men's game that it's hard to replicate this.
The superstars have remained with their programs. And that is, I'll tell you this, I watched every second of the Iowa-LSU game. But you knew on one end it was Caitlin Clark. But you knew on the other end it was Angel Reese. But you get to know some of the other players because they were there last year for the title game. And then you look, okay, well, Juju Watkins is a name that's coming along. Then all of a sudden you got Paige Beckers who's back off the injury. You have these names that stick around for more than a year. They stick around in a program. You see them develop. You see the way the teams develop around them. Like you said, you can actually have what you can consider a college basketball rivalry take place. And that's almost what you saw in that Iowa-LSU game. And then, Joe, that was going to be my question for you, the transition over to the betting end of things. Because you see all these numbers that surround Caitlin Clark and that. But then you see the numbers that surround the games. And you look at this and say, okay, you're starting to do some research on these players, and you just get so much deeper into their careers. But I'll tell you, I would have way more interest right now betting on a March Madness game on the women's end of things than I would for any NHL game, a whole lot of NBA games right now, a whole lot of MLB games. I just think they've grown that popularity. They've done it well. They've done a really good job of it. And the networks are doing a great job of promoting it and placing them at the right spot. I think it's been a wildly intriguing March Madness on the women's side.
We have to see what the numbers were for last night and how that all shakes out. But what I do know about LSU-Iowa, that was the most bet women's basketball game ever. And I know people would say that that's not all that surprising because of the hype and how the game's grown. I agree. That was an Elite Eight game, though.
Yep.
See, that's what's interesting to me. That was an Elite Eight matchup. So what's it going to be moving forward? And also that night, the UConn-USC, that was top three on the night. It was outperforming from as far as number of bets. It was outperforming NBA games. Like, that's where we're at right now, Jim. People are comparing it to the cable Monday night football games from a couple of seasons ago. And the rating was beating that. That's where we're at. And that's why the ratings are being discussed so much with you. I'm all in on that. Men's college hoops, Final Four tonight. Maybe it ends up being a snooze fest. Maybe we get something that surprises us. The first game, Purdue NC State. What surprised me is this number has really not settled all week. It's been 8.5, 9, 9.5. Cinderella story. You've got NC State. DJ Burns, the country loves him. But typically when you get 11 seeds that go this far in the tournament, this is where it ends tonight, Jim.
And you think about it in the not so recent history, but I guess it was Loyola not too long ago.
100%.
It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's where it ended. That was the Cinderella story. Purdue's a good team. You and I were both not sold on Purdue, but I'll tell you, they're playing good, solid basketball now. They've had a road that's worked out very well. Everything seems to line up for them. That is one team that has kind of held together too, Joe. And that's the thing that I think it has been beneficial for them. It's not a whole lot of one and dones. It's not a whole lot of transfers in that. And I think this is something that has helped Purdue get to this point. The number around 9.5 is the one thing that intrigues me, because I think teams can hang around with Purdue a little bit more than they can with UConn. I'm going to monitor that number, see how things unfold. At 9.5, I might consider NC State. If it drops any lower, I may go the other way or just sit out. But I think that's the much more intriguing of the two Final Four games.
It's so challenging because NC State's performance in the regular season versus what we saw in the ACC tournament and what we're seeing right now during this long winning streak, it's completely different. So what are they? Are they somewhere in the middle, or are they closer to what we've seen in the tournament? Tough to figure out. So I'm having a tough time as far as a side goes. I will point out, though, that something you always need to consider when it comes to the Final Four, when you go into these large stadiums, sometimes the shooting does suffer. So a lot of people just blindly bet the unders on these games. As far as Game 1, Purdue, NC State, how do you not bet Zach Edey over on the rebounds? Isn't he just going to dominate the boards, and he's going to dominate Burns in this matchup?
He should. The only way Burns can handle him is to try to body him up and just beat him up. But if he does that, he's going to pick up fouls. Purdue is one of the best teams in the country for drawing fouls. That's the one thing that will work against Burns and NC State. But like you mentioned, large arenas, shooting background is different. Everything becomes a little bit different. So under might be the way to go there. But man, Zach Edey, look at what the rebound number is. He pulled down 20 last game. He's a guy that I agree with you. Over on the rebounding end of things is probably the route to go.
Early odds of Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score Weekly contributor Jim Miller here. And then we have UConn and Alabama later on. The point spread, even larger, 12. Wouldn't surprise me if it continues to climb like it has throughout the week. Maybe we get to 13 by the time this one tips off. And I understand. I understand all the UConn love. You can't crush them at all. Last 2 years, they are 10-0 in the tournament, and they're beating teams by an average of 23 points per game. It feels like a lot of people are scared to go against this trade of UConn, and I understand why. What are you doing with it?
I agree with you, and I agree with the betting public, because here's the thing about UConn. They don't stop. They don't take their foot off the gas. They don't get comfortable when they're up 10. They don't get comfortable when they're up 15. They don't get comfortable when they're up 20. And I don't know if it's just the way Dan Hurley coaches them. I've heard him talk in some interviews throughout the course of the week, even stating, hey, regular season sometimes can be treated a little bit differently from postseason, but postseason, you turn on the gas because you're a one and done no matter what. So you don't want to allow anybody even a chance to get back into the game. To me, anything below 15, even, I'm going the UConn route. I just think they're going to get ahead. I think they're going to pile it on. I think they're the most likely winner of the tournament. If you do want to bet them to win the tournament, Joe, you're looking at even minus 185 right now with four teams still remaining. I just think they're that good, especially in the postseason.
And Bama's defense stinks. That's been an issue.
They don't play defense.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. They're outside the top 100 in the nation in defensive efficiency. That's always been their issue. It's not the scoring. It's the stopping. But you could have this crazy game. They take a ton of threes. If they're hitting their threes, maybe they end up hanging around, but they're going to need luck on their side. Not only do they need to be hitting their threes, but they need UConn to be missing their shots because, as we mentioned, the defense is not great for the Tide. So if this number continues to climb, if we can get to 13, 14, I might be tempted to take Bama in this spot. I know everybody's going to be on UConn. I certainly understand it. Bama would need a lot of help, but maybe I'm just hoping that they could stick around in this game. I would
that
look
is a
at
lot of threes.
Made threes props could be appealing there.
Well, and you look at made threes props, but also if you believe that is the possibility, then you pretty much have no option but to bet over too. So that's the thing. If you think Bama can stay in the game, I think you almost just tie in the parlay to the over because that's the only way it can happen.
100%. 161 is the number. 15 points higher than the Purdue NC State matchup. I guess if you like UConn a lot and you're looking for value, what do you do? Well, I guess you could pick one of the UConn players for most outstanding player of the tournament because who knows? The second favorite, the third favorite, the fourth favorite, all Huskies. The favorite overall is Zach Edey. And that makes sense because if Purdue ends up winning the title, you know that award is going over to Edey. All right. What about the Bears? All the focus has shifted to the number 9 pick overall. I'm still waiting for those odds to come out. A lot of chatter nationally about the different quarterbacks. Nobody knows what the order is going to be after Caleb.
And it's still wide open, and it's going to change numerous times. I think you're going to see numerous trades in the draft. Here's a couple things that I wanted to point out, though, Joe. Just because the NFL dominates the calendar and you can bet things year-round. If you have confidence in the Bears, don't you want to bet Matt Eberflus right now for Coach of the Year at 20-1 if you have confidence in them? Because that number, if they open up the season with Caleb Williams and all the hype, that number is going to consistently drop. I think now's the time to bet him if you want to. I think the same within the division. The number for the Bears for the division for the NFC North, right around 4-1. The number is 8.5 for the over-under. I just think you need to get any of those wagers in even before the draft if you want to catch the best odds for any of those.
All right, we've been doing this a while, and you know where I typically stand with this Bears organization. I'm telling you how it's going to go wrong before it goes wrong. So I'm not a homer. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. You know this. Yep. I did a gut reaction just going off all the offseason moves and where I am on these teams, all the win totals when they came out a week ago and I'm going over them, Jim. I'm like under, 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 bunch of teams. I get to the Bears. That's the over I like the most.
Yeah.
In all of football at 8.5. I think they're going over, and that's a great look. If they exceed expectations, this market, this team, the way they're building, I love the moves the Poles has made, 20-1, that's a good look. That's another way to bet it instead of just taking your plus 350 for the Bears to win the North.
And this is the only time you're going to get it. Because if they all of a sudden, even if they open, they have Caleb Williams, all their weapons, say they open the season 2-0, the number's going to be down in the single digits and remain there for the remainder of the season.
I like it. We're in Derby prep season. Yes. What do we need to keep an eye on with the horses?
3 100-point Derby preps this weekend. These are the final major preps for the Derby, so keep an eye on them. Start at Aqueduct, Race 10, the Wood Memorial. Bet the four deterministic across the board. This one 2-for-2, winner of the Gotham. Then go to Keeneland, Race 10 in the Bluegrass. Bet the one Top Connor across the board. This one won its debut from the rail and is 15-1. And then Santa Anita, Race 10's the Santa Anita Derby. Bob Baffert steals points again. He has the four Imagination in here. That horse should be very tough in there, and that means nobody will get those winner's points if that one wins.
Very good, Jim Miller. Awesome stuff. Let's talk next Saturday. Enjoy all the basketball this weekend. We're getting closer to the NBA playoffs, which I know that you love. Masters, we mentioned that as well. It's nonstop action, man.
It's going to be another great weekend ahead, Joe. Good luck.
Appreciate the BetQL Network's Jay Kassan for dropping by to discuss MLB futures at the top of the show, and Anthony Amico on NFL draft props. Find it all in the Odyssey app or check the Early Odds pod later. You Better You Bets countdown to tip-off is next. Early Odds will be back home, our normal 8 to 9 a.m. time slot next Saturday. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and hit winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago sports betting.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word. Hello?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on The Score.
And a friend of mine is very smart, said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back. Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score. Back to the normal schedule next weekend, 8 to 9 every single Saturday morning. We bring in Jim Miller of Hawthorne Racecourse, weekly contributor here on Early Odds. What's up, Jim? How you doing?
Joe, I am doing good. I'll tell you this. March Madness has been great.
Yeah.
But to me, it's been great on the women's end. I think the women's March Madness has been wildly fascinating and entertaining this year. What do you think?
How could you not be doing great? I mean, what a great time on the sports calendar. You mentioned both March Madnesses, baseball starting off. We're getting ready for the NBA and NHL playoffs to get going. Masters is next week. I mean, I know you're all into WrestleMania. There's so much going on, man. It's unbelievable. The women's side, I can't believe we're here, man. I can't believe that rating that we saw for going back to Monday of 12.3 million people. And when you put that in perspective, compare it to some of the other big sporting events, it is unreal how it knocks it out of the park. I can't believe I'm into it as much as I am, way into it more than the men's tournament. And the betting has matched that. Everybody's betting on this event, and I think that also feeds into it. The other part is one of the issues going on with men's college basketball, though, Jim. Yes, you have the superstars. That's a big factor. It's the history of a season ago. You have a built-in rivalry already, and it's the same players. That's the difference.
Yes.
There's so much changeover and transfer stuff going on in the men's game that it's hard to replicate this.
The superstars have remained with their programs. And that is, I'll tell you this, I watched every second of the Iowa-LSU game. But you knew on one end it was Caitlin Clark. But you knew on the other end it was Angel Reese. But you get to know some of the other players because they were there last year for the title game. And then you look, okay, well, Juju Watkins is a name that's coming along. Then all of a sudden you got Paige Beckers who's back off the injury. You have these names that stick around for more than a year. They stick around in a program. You see them develop. You see the way the teams develop around them. Like you said, you can actually have what you can consider a college basketball rivalry take place. And that's almost what you saw in that Iowa-LSU game. And then, Joe, that was going to be my question for you, the transition over to the betting end of things. Because you see all these numbers that surround Caitlin Clark and that. But then you see the numbers that surround the games. And you look at this and say, okay, you're starting to do some research on these players, and you just get so much deeper into their careers. But I'll tell you, I would have way more interest right now betting on a March Madness game on the women's end of things than I would for any NHL game, a whole lot of NBA games right now, a whole lot of MLB games. I just think they've grown that popularity. They've done it well. They've done a really good job of it. And the networks are doing a great job of promoting it and placing them at the right spot. I think it's been a wildly intriguing March Madness on the women's side.
We have to see what the numbers were for last night and how that all shakes out. But what I do know about LSU-Iowa, that was the most bet women's basketball game ever. And I know people would say that that's not all that surprising because of the hype and how the game's grown. I agree. That was an Elite Eight game, though. Yep. See, that's what's interesting to me. That was an Elite Eight matchup. So what's it going to be moving forward? And also that night, the UConn-USC, that was top three on the night. It was outperforming from as far as number of bets. It was outperforming NBA games. Like, that's where we're at right now, Jim. People are comparing it to the cable Monday night football games from a couple of seasons ago. And the rating was beating that. That's where we're at. And that's why the ratings are being discussed so much with you. I'm all in on that. Men's college hoops, Final Four tonight. Maybe it ends up being a snooze fest. Maybe we get something that surprises us. The first game, Purdue NC State. What surprised me is this number has really not settled all week. It's been 8.5, 9, 9.5. Cinderella story. You've got NC State. DJ Burns, the country loves him. But typically when you get 11 seeds that go this far in the tournament, this is where it ends tonight, Jim.
And you think about it in the not so recent history, but I guess it was Loyola not too long ago.
100%.
That is the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's where it ended. That was the Cinderella story. Purdue's a good team. You and I were both not sold on Purdue, but I'll tell you, they're playing good, solid basketball now. They've had a road that's worked out very well. Everything seems to line up for them. That is one team that has kind of held together too, Joe. And that's the thing that I think it has been beneficial for them. It's not a whole lot of one and dones. It's not a whole lot of transfers in that. And I think this is something that has helped Purdue get to this point. The number around 9.5 is the one thing that intrigues me, because I think teams can hang around with Purdue a little bit more than they can with UConn. I'm going to monitor that number, see how things unfold. And 9.5, I might consider NC State. If it drops any lower, I may go the other way or just sit out. But I think that's the much more intriguing of the two Final Four games.
It's so challenging because NC State's performance in the regular season versus what we saw in the ACC tournament and what we're seeing right now during this long winning streak, it's completely different. So what are they? Are they somewhere in the middle, or are they closer to what we've seen in the tournament? Tough to figure out. So I'm having a tough time as far as a side goes. I will point out, though, that something you always need to consider when it comes to the Final Four, when you go into these large stadiums, sometimes the shooting does suffer. So a lot of people just blindly bet the unders on these games. As far as Game 1, Purdue, NC State, how do you not bet Zach Edey over on the rebounds? Isn't he just going to dominate the boards, and he's going to dominate Burns in this matchup?
He should. The only way Burns can handle him is to try to body him up and just beat him up. But if he does that, he's going to pick up fouls. Purdue is one of the best teams in the country for drawing fouls. That's the one thing that will work against Burns and NC State. But like you mentioned, large arenas, shooting background is different. Everything becomes a little bit different. So under might be the way to go there. But man, Zach Edey, look at what the rebound number is. He pulled down 20 last game. He's a guy that I agree with you. Over on the rebounding end of things is probably the route to go.
Early odds of Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score Weekly contributor Jim Miller here. And then we have UConn and Alabama later on. The point spread, even larger, 12. Wouldn't surprise me if it continues to climb like it has throughout the week. Maybe we get to 13 by the time this one tips off. And I understand. I understand all the UConn love. You can't crush them at all. Last 2 years, they are 10-0 in the tournament, and they're beating teams by an average of 23 points per game. It feels like a lot of people are scared to go against this trade of UConn, and I understand why. What are you doing with it?
I agree with you, and I agree with the betting public, because here's the thing about UConn. They don't stop. They don't take their foot off the gas. They don't get comfortable when they're up 10. They don't get comfortable when they're up 15. They don't get comfortable when they're up 20. And I don't know if it's just the way Dan Hurley coaches them. I've heard him talk in some interviews throughout the course of the week, even stating, hey, regular season sometimes can be treated a little bit differently from postseason, but postseason, you turn on the gas because you're a one and done no matter what. So you don't want to allow anybody even a chance to get back into the game. to me, anything below 15 even, I'm going the UConn route. I just think they're going to get ahead. I think they're going to pile it on. I think they're the most likely winner of the tournament. If you do want to bet them to win the tournament, Joe, you're looking at even minus 185 right now with four teams still remaining. I just think they're that good, especially in the postseason.
And Bama's defense stinks. That's been an issue.
They don't play defense.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. They're outside the top 100 in the nation in defensive efficiency. That's always been their issue. It's not the scoring. It's the stopping. But you could have this crazy game. They take a ton of threes. If they're hitting their threes, maybe they end up hanging around, but they're going to need luck on their side. Not only do they need to be hitting their threes, but they need UConn to be missing their shots because, as we mentioned, the defense is not great for the Tide. So if this number continues to climb, if we can get to 13, 14, I might be tempted to take Bama in this spot. I know everybody's going to be on UConn. I certainly understand it. Bama would need a lot of help, but maybe I'm just hoping that they can stick around in this game. I would
that
look
is a
at
lot of threes.
Made threes props could be appealing there.
Well, and you look at made threes props, but also if you believe that is the possibility, then you pretty much have no option but to bet over too. So
yeah,
that's the thing. If you think Bama can stay in the game, I think you almost just tie in the parlay to the over because that's the only way it can happen.
100%. 161 is the number. 15 points higher than the Purdue-NC State matchup. I guess if you like UConn a lot and you're looking for value, what do you do? Well, I guess you could pick one of the UConn players for most outstanding player of the tournament because, who knows, the second favorite, the third favorite, the fourth favorite, all Huskies, the favorite overall is Zach Edey. And that makes sense because if Purdue ends up winning the title, you know that award is going over to Edey. All right. What about the Bears? All the focus has shifted to the number 9 pick overall. I'm still waiting for those odds to come out. A lot of chatter nationally about the different quarterbacks. Nobody knows what the order is going to be after Caleb.
And it's still wide open and it's going to change numerous times. I think you're going to see numerous trades in the draft. Here's a couple things that I wanted to point out though, Joe. Just because the NFL dominates the calendar and you can bet things year-round. If you have confidence in the Bears, don't you want to bet Matt Eberflus right now for Coach of the Year at 20-1 if you have confidence in them? Because that number, if they open up the season with Caleb Williams and all the hype, that number is going to consistently drop. I think now's the time to bet them if you want to. I think the same within the division. The number for the Bears for the division for the NFC North, right around 4-1. The number is 8.5 for the over-under. I just think you need to get any of those wagers in even before the draft if you want to catch the best odds for any of those.
All right, we've been doing this a while, and you know where I typically stand with this Bears organization. I'm telling you how it's going to go wrong before it goes wrong. So I'm not a homer. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. You know this.
Yep.
I did a gut reaction just going off all the offseason moves and where I am on these teams, all the win totals when they came out a week ago and I'm going over them, Jim. Like under, bunch of teams. I get to the Bears. That's the over I like the most.
Yeah.
In all of football at 8.5. I think they're going over, and that's a great look. If they exceed expectations, this market, this team, the way they're building, I love the moves that Poles has made, 20-1. That's a good look. That's another way to bet it instead of just taking your plus 350 for the Bears to win the North.
And this is the only time you're going to get it. Because if they all of a sudden, even if they open, they have Caleb Williams, all their weapons, say they open the season 2-0, the number's going to be down in the single digits and remain there for the remainder of the season.
I like it. We're in Derby prep season.
Yes.
What do we need to keep an eye on with the horses?
3 100-point Derby preps this weekend. These are the final major preps for the Derby, so keep an eye on them. Start at Aqueduct, Race 10, the Wood Memorial. Bet the 4 deterministic across the board. This one 2 for 2, winner of the Gotham. Then go to Keeneland, Race 10 in the Bluegrass. Bet the 1 Top Connor across the board. This one won its debut from the rail and is 15-1. And then Santa Anita, Race 10's the Santa Anita Derby. Bob Baffert steals points again. He has the 4 Imagination in here. That horse should be very tough in there, and that means nobody will get those winner's points if that one wins.
Very good, Jim Miller. Awesome stuff. Let's talk next Saturday. Enjoy all the basketball this weekend. We're getting closer to the NBA playoffs, which I know that you love. Masters, we mentioned that as well. It's nonstop action, man.
It's going to be another great weekend ahead, Joe. Good luck.
Appreciate the BetQL Network's Jake Hassan for dropping by to discuss MLB futures at the top of the show, and Anthony Amico on NFL draft props. Find it all in the Odyssey app or check the Early Odds pod later. You Better You Bets countdown to tip-off is next. Early Odds will be back home our normal 8 to 9 a.m. time slot next Saturday. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.